Welcome to the Gravity Well podcast with Alex and Jenny. Here, you break down heavy ideas with us to understand their complexities and connections. Our mission is to work through your dilemmas with you, in conversation and process, making our world a better place for all.
We acknowledge that we live on the traditional territories of Treaties 4, 6, 7, 8, and 10, the ancestral homelands of diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples, whose ancestors have walked this land since time immemorial, and whose histories, languages, and cultures continue to influence our vibrant communities. We pay respect to Indigenous people through our ethical relationship-building efforts. Our community agreement asks for genuine conversations, real hearts, open minds, and different perspectives. In conflict, let's rely on our 6W system and live participant feedback. What matters most is finding common ground.
We dedicate this podcast to our children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, and all future generations. The Gravity Well is on YouTube and streaming wherever you get your podcasts. Join us at thegravitywell.net.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Gravity Well podcast. Our guest is Angie Alexander. A little bit about her. She's a professional engineer with over 20 years experience in the Western Canadian oil and gas industry, from facility reservoir engineering with skills in organization effectiveness, facilitation, process design, improvement and change management, and project management. Possessing a passion and bringing teams together, work more effectively and make better decisions and be more innovative and think more strategically. One of her key skills actually happens to be that she has helped to facilitate simple tools to create more efficient work environments that were used and modified by others. So she genuinely has an appreciation for strategizing, communicating, and modifying organizations in any field in order to make them more efficient, cost-effective, and better for the environment. So with that, I present to you our guest, Angie Alexander.
Hi. I'm on my phone now, which isn't as satisfying on this end because you're so tiny, but I think you can hear me better. So that's good.
Seems like it's working. Thank you for being flexible, Angie.
Sure.
Angie and I have been collaborating this year as well, and in fact, last year too. So I'm really grateful for our collaboration, Angie. I feel like I've grown stronger as an individual and also as a friend and a parent and all the things in my life because of the work that I've been doing with you. So thank you, first and foremost, for starting off this off with us. So Alex had a chance to meet you in our very first episode that we did for the show. And in that, you helped us get grounded in how we were going to build a community agreement, essentially, is where we landed in that episode. So trying to make sure that we had the space for difference of opinion. It's funny because Angie and I are redoing a course that she brought me through last year as well, the positive intelligence training course. It's had an upgrade, and I have to say I'm really grateful to the upgrade. I noticed Shirzad is speaking about the climate crisis in this and the challenges we're facing. So it was really neat to know that that work is being included in what he's already doing. It was really gratifying to see that come together. I'm grateful to him for that and for you for redoing this with us. But in that work. So anyway, I'm going to stop there, but I just want to say Angie is going to help us go through the last year, how we've all gained working together. And I'm trying to let you take the lead here. So I'm just going to slow down and let you take over. And yeah, we talked a little bit about where we're headed, but I know you're a professional at this. So why don't I just relax and let you do your thing?
That's right. I yield the mic. Yeah. Thank you both for having me. I'm excited to, it's always fun to have these kinds of conversations and just see where they go. You know, not much of an agenda tonight other than just to explore the collaboration that the two of you have had over the last year, where you've come. And weaving into that, I think, you know, Jenny and I have had a collaboration as well. And it's always quite fascinating to see the interaction between the pairings of us as we go along. So I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you. So okay. So let's just dive in. I think one of the a really cool place to start that I would love to ask both of you to consider and answer is, you know, what are you most proud of when you think about your collaboration over the last year? What comes to mind when you think of what you're most proud of?
I can go first. Yeah. I mean, I can say that we're number one, that we're still working together. Like, you know, we really do challenge each other in a way that is really helpful, but it's not easy. And so I acknowledge that. And I think Alex, I don't know, is that, what would you say, Alex?
I would agree with that. However, I also think that one of the most special things that you and I have created is the fact that we have a level of maturity to be able to disagree and then try and understand what we're actually trying to do in the broader spectrum of things, maybe over the long term. And then we're able to find a way to actually communicate that. And if we're not, then we seek guests and we write it out and we figure out a way to like try and understand each other. And I think that's something that generally our civilization, because they seem to be generally in a flux, they thirst for. So being able to facilitate that endeavor and start those dialogues together, I think that's going to be more valuable long term than maybe either of us even realize. But it doesn't even matter about us anyways, because if it's something that can carry forward, if people can learn to come back to a level of maturity and share ideas, even if they disagree with each other, but do it respectfully and diplomatically, that's something that you and I have worked on for a year and a half now to actually create, and it keeps on going. So even though it's extremely difficult and it's a terrible rabbit hole to ever want to go down when it comes to understanding human nature, gosh, it's so worth it in the end, because it's a message that can be translated and can be delivered to other people. And even if they don't get it right away, it's there. We're planting a seed and they will understand eventually. And it's like a slow awakening from a slumber, right? Where we've just deceived ourselves. Like, most people don't understand like that what we're trying to do is help people to facilitate the opportunity to confront the devil within.
Yeah.
It's like the final boss.
Yeah, I love that. And I love, you know, it's so interesting how you said different things in some ways on the surface. You know, Jenny's point about we're still here. I'm proud of the fact that we're still here and we're still together. And then Alex, your points about how you got, why you're still together, essentially, right? Why you're still able to have these conversations and the willingness to go there. Because I know I've been, Jenny and I are on calls almost every week. And so I've been able to listen to, I would say, witness, you know, the growth. And of course, not everything she talks about in our rooms is about this. However, some of it is, whether it's, you know, the collaboration with Alex or some of the other work that Jenny's doing. And so to watch live, essentially, watch Jenny process and learn and grow and challenge and stumble and, you know, find your way back through that has been really a joy, really, to watch. And so to know that that's recognized. And what I would say, just even listening to the two of you just now, is that it's a modeling that you can do for others, right? The fact that, you know, it wasn't, maybe you could tell a little of the origin story. I always love hearing how you met, but that, you know, there was an initial connection, but it wasn't like that immediate connection that you sometimes feel with some people, I think is if I recall the story. Yeah.
No, yeah. I would say for me, it was an immediate connection. Like, I had a friend with me that day, this lovely woman, Tara, that was my support throughout the war that I would call the election. But anyway, so yeah, I think the thing was, is I was saying this line over and over again. I was saying we're in the Apollo 13 moment, and we need to just throw all of our resources on the table and have this honest conversation, which is what Alex sort of reflected in when he was just discussing, is being able to come to grips with the devil within. Like, we've all made mistakes in this world. Like, that's the reality of the situation. And so it's being able to be okay with that and knowing that we didn't know any better and we weren't doing things intentionally, you know? And like, for me, I'll be specific. Like, I drilled a number of wells that were probably not economic and not worth doing, you know? Like, that's one thing I can say that I feel like I contributed to. But regardless, my point is, it is hard to come to grips with even just getting to know ourselves and loving ourselves. Like, Angie, you took us through this week in this course we're taking, is being able to love yourself. And what I've realized in that is it's a leap of faith, like Alex has said. And, you know, I was thinking back when people did TV shows, they would never do the pilot and then be building the rest of the show. Like, I guess maybe after, just with the pilot, maybe they do some work. But we did the pilot and then built the show and basically been stumbling our way through it for a year, right? Like, that's essentially what it was, is a stumbling exercise. So a real test of humility and not without mistakes, right? Yeah. Which is also difficult. So that's why I say, you know, I don't want to undermine what we've done. Like, Alex, it's totally true. It's our ability to look past the, you know, those pinch points that we say in our language that are supposed to just stop us from talking altogether. I think we just go, what do you mean? And then it's like, oh yeah, okay, I get that. Right? Like, it's almost instantaneous.
Yeah, there's kind of a quote that comes to mind, and it was I think it was Mephistopheles, but don't quote me on that. The quote is, the truth of the divine manifests itself in the courage for unforeseen adventure.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, like, we gambled on creating something, didn't know if it was actually gonna produce anything, still don't know, frankly, but we're all still having honest conversations. And what's so cool about it is, by year's end, we will have done 36 episodes out of 52 weeks.
Wow.
Which is actually something to be proud of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Angie does this almost every week. So we were already doing that. So I was like, yeah, I'm already doing it. So yes, we're going to do it again. And I didn't really think about how much work it was and how many.
It's a lot of honest work. It's a lot of trudging along and trying to figure out the new programming and trying to figure out the audio and the lighting.
I don't have any of that in an audio room. So kudos to all of you for figuring that out, as we discovered tonight, me coming in.
Yeah, so
the question I have actually now in all of that is, in order for that work to continue, in order to continue to show up every week, there's a guiding light, a North Star, right? A compass that is driving that. And clearly, I don't know whether you've talked about it specifically, but clearly it connects you, right? It brings you back to, whether you're having difficult conversations or you're struggling through the technology, or you know, you have to, you know, backpedal or go sideways or something. You know, what would you say is the guiding light for the two of you?
There is no reason to change course unless the changing of course is equal to or greater than the challenges you've already overcome.
Mm.
And what's most interesting to me about doing this is, like, this is a challenge. You know, I'm having to learn how to create a digital media thing, whatever that ends up manifesting itself as. I've been a construction worker and a security guard and an art student and things like that. But creating a media organization is entirely a new endeavor. But the reason why I'm not giving up is because it is a challenge, and I'm a stubborn, you know what I mean? And I like the challenge, you know?
I think that's it. That's what keeps us.
I cheated death three times in my life, you know? I haven't had it easy, but I didn't make it easy for myself. I'm not blaming anyone. It was all because of my own decisions and my own lack of observation, right? And but the only way that you can actually grow in life is to fail.
Yeah.
And then accept it and own it and then move through it, right? So this is a particular challenge that I quite enjoy, because it's like, I have to put myself out there with the potential to fail. Mm-hmm. I have to put myself out there with people that disagree with me, that I disagree with, but we have to find some sort of balance. We have to find some sort of common ground. And I think Jenny kind of felt the same way when we met at the front door, right? Because the reason that I voted for her was actually pretty simple. She was the only politician with enough humility to show up at my front door and ask me, what are your three main concerns? And then just let me riff on it.
Yeah. Right? And then listen to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, she was actually.
And he riffed.
And I riffed. We get back and forth. Her friend was just standing in the street, like, ready to go to the next door. And she's like, I don't know. It was like 20 minutes worth of conversation. But then Jenny asked me if she could put a sign up on my lawn. So I said, yep, absolutely. And I voted for her. And even though she lost the election, I thought about it and I just wrote her a letter and just said, like, hey, you know, like, just because you lost this one doesn't mean that there isn't an opportunity to regroup. Mm-hmm. Right. And change the platform or change the messaging or anything, you know.
Yeah.
So I just wrote her a letter. When it was like 2 weeks later after that, she got back to me and then we ended up going for coffee and she's like, I think I could actually work with a guy like you. And then go to Delft University in the Netherlands digitally, right? And like, just like, all right, let's figure this out. Let's figure out how we can actually create something. And that's what we ended up doing.
Yeah. So
year and a half in, it's a pretty cool experience. I could have never predicted it. I don't think Jenny could have either. And here we are. Let's go.
Awesome. Jenny, so what about you? How would you answer that question?
Yeah, you know, I stumbled earlier and so I want to try and correct. So when I went to Alex's door, so I'm and I was using this Apollo 13 moment problem. And Alex, I would say that and people would go, yeah, that's interesting. That's what we need to do. But Alex said, no, you know why Apollo 13 was successful, right? Because of Apollo 11. Because in Apollo 11, they did this exercise of what if this happens, if this happens, we're going to do this. If this happens, we're going to do this. And I realized I've been saying the wrong thing. We're not in the Apollo 13 moment, clearly, because otherwise we would know that and we would be putting things on the table. We're in the Apollo 11 moment. We're in the what am I going to do when moment. Mm-hmm. And
it's the reverse engineering principle.
Right. Yeah. And so I think for me, what Alex does is, like, I'll give you an example. So I got asked by a guest, and I would say a friend, Bo Shaw, wants to talk about his run in the federal election. And Alex said, well, we should ask the public what they want to see in the general election, and we should use the World Economic Forum, what's it called, the like report that came out in terms of what's happening in the future, and we should use that to make some questions. So it just, I would have never thought of that on my own.
Yeah,
you know, and I so and it's
global progress index. It's the World Economic Forum's Global Progress Index.
Yeah, so we're gonna just ask some questions of people in the new year from that database. Like, it's just a good way to root it in something that's universal that people are working towards and can measure against, but use it in a local way for people. And then, like, basically be able to come to a place of interviewing people that are committed to those goals that bring us together, those goals that help us get past. Like, one of the things that's in there that Alex was talking about was this, how did you describe it, Alex? It was like people going into their corners, like more social division. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's a few criteria that kind of have led us to this moment, right? Like, we have social media and algorithms that are placating to people's preferences, to people's interests, right? Be it like cats making funny jumps off shelves and not making it, or, you know, politics, or, you know, funny dogs, or like whatever it happens to be. Like, the algorithms they're not human. They're not actually people. They're just designed to placate and advertise according to anyone's specific interest. The risk, what's going on these days, especially in the past like 8 to 10 years with the advents of social media, advanced social media, and being on the precipice of artificial general intelligence, is that these algorithms can actually just put people into social bubbles, right? Where they're not even aware of any other information that's out there that might be counter to the narrative, because this interface is just placating to what they're interested in. So that's creating a division that we haven't been able to predict, but it's natural causality of this new digital realm that we've created. However, that being said, on the positive note, we can circumnavigate by doing exactly what we're doing with the gravity well. We can say, hey, wait a second, like, wipe the dust out of your eyes for a
second.
The algorithm is cherry picking information for you, and you're not seeing a whole bunch of other stuff that might be contrary. So like a confirmation bias that's digitally created is creating a social discohesion that actually needs to be somehow repaired or rectified. I'm not going to pretend to know I know how to do that, but I've gotten to the truth to the level of where I know that's exactly what needs to be done. And I think that is sociologically, culturally, and societally, and spiritually, one of the biggest challenges that we're facing today. And that's part of the reasons why I'm just not quitting.
All good. Jenny, did you have more to add to that?
I don't know how I could, really. No, I think it's great. Like I said, it's just things that I wouldn't think of. And it's because we acknowledge that we're like getting annoyed by the stupid words that we're saying to each other, but we're like, okay, I said, for example, well, I'll be specific, organizing for power. I said that and Alex went in his chair like, what the hell is she doing? Right. And I mean, people power, right? Like collective organizing, like we're just organizing as a society in a way that serves us. Right. Not like I'm going to be the almighty powerful, but that's very easily what it would be. Right. Because most people, that is the goal. That is what most people are about. And especially somebody who's running in politics, like I would be worried as well, because that's the expectation that you're in a position of power. So, it's funny because, you know, my husband and I have talked about the election and what it meant for us. You know, it's changed our life, not for the better, I would say, in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But the community I'm in now, and this is what I've said to Angie and why I'm so grateful for your guidance over the last year and more, is feeling like I'm in a community that's more healthy for me and more healthy for you and more healthy for Alex and more healthy for everybody that's in that community and who's really precious. Yeah, my husband was seeing that there's like a lot of times people that have a lot of friends, it's generally when they're in a place where they're only potentially not looking at community giving, you know, like being more apathetic towards others can make you have deeper connections, but fewer connections, which I think is potentially what's happened for me in this last little while. But anyway, I'm not sure if that answered your question, but that's
That was good. That was good.
Is there a question for you, and just from my own experience, because I don't have many friends. I have probably 5, maybe, but I keep my circle tight. I don't give trust just blindly. Mm-hmm. I see it as sort of like everybody that I meet, every stranger that I meet has a certain positive balance of trust and faith and all those types of things. But people that I choose to allow into my inner circle, I keep them very close. And do you think that to be wise, or do you think I should be more open?
I don't have a strong opinion on that. I think the wiseness comes from, Jenny, you know, it's all about being sage. So I think it's checking in with yourself. You talked about the devil within before. I would say check in with the sage within. And am I keeping myself to a number like that because of fear, because of negativity, because of being overly protective of myself, versus from a place of, you know, I mean, what's the saying? You become the most like the 5 people you spend most time with. So if you've curated that group of 5 for all the right reasons, and the only you can know what those reasons would be, then I think it's totally fine. It's really just checking in with yourself in terms of, am I afraid to have more friends? Am I just putting that little, you know, the little shield over myself and staying within that bubble, like you talked about? Am I venturing out and continuing to learn and grow? I think those would be the things I would check in with.
Yeah. I think there's kind of a, like an allegory that goes all the way back, you know, to the snake in the garden, so to speak. If the snake were not to exist in the garden, would there be any motivator to survive, to continue, right? Like, if there were no challenge in life, would there be any purpose? Would it just fizzle out, you know, in a whimper? Like, so I think in ironically, it's like there always has to be a challenge. There has to be a challenge of trust. There has to be a predator in the garden. There has to be, you know, something. But all those things actually simultaneously like exist within. So I find it kind of interesting to see all those metaphors just slam together in the same foundational message.
Like, Alex, let me ask you. I'm assuming, I'm going to make the assumption you've let Jenny into the circle.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So why is that? What was it that allowed that to happen, to let Jenny into your small circle of friends?
Authenticity.
I would say the same for Alex. Yeah. I mean, that consistent. Yeah. Authenticity. Thank you for acknowledging that. I certainly aim to be authentic. So I really,
You can be authentically crazy. You can have authentically terrible views. You can be authentically wrong about things. You can also be authentically creative. You know, you can be authentically all sorts of different aspects of who you are in as a whole person. But like, that's the one thing, the one quality that I appreciated about you and why I decided to work with you and write you that letter and things like that was you're authentic. You might be flawed, but who the hell am I to judge? I'm flawed too, right? We all are. And if we're going to actually be honest with each other, then that's a good start. And so that's kind of why I thought that was the biggest thing about Jenny that inspired me to try and take this on, try and figure something out, try and create something different and work together. So
thank you.
That's the answer.
Yeah. Thank you for that share.
How about you, Angie? We did. I was hoping, you know, as I said to you offline before this, I'd love to know your thoughts on how we're doing, and like even you and me in our relationship too. We've had a big growth year. I can say from my end, the way you've shaped the room, I love how you have gotten to a place for us. So sorry, Angie briefly mentioned that should have mentioned sooner. We do a conversation every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. on Clubhouse. Angie has hosted that since 21. And I joined in late 22. And it's been a very steady, feel-good conversation in my life that just helps me feel grounded and helps me know that I'm on the right path with people that are just brilliant. And anyway, we've had a big growth year and you've changed the room a lot this year, I think, in that. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on and anything you want to offer from our collaboration to Alex and me, whatever is
Thursday mornings, join us. I think what's been interesting with the Clubhouse room is, you know, the intentionality of the room for me has not been as like I wouldn't have necessarily said I wanted it to go where it is today from a year ago. It's been kind of an evolving, let it see where it goes. And that applies equally to each room individually, as well as kind of the arc that it takes over the course of months. And so for me, it's about what, you know, selfishly, what's on my mind? What do I want to talk about? Because I learn so much from those that come to the room, the collaboration and the conversation. So selfishly, it helps me grow and learn and how I then show up in my life and in my, with my clients, for example. And I haven't intentionally, you know, I usually don't look more than a week or so ahead, but I'm always thinking what's kind of floating around in the universe. What do we need to talk about? What's going on for people, and then plant a few seeds with my LinkedIn post and then see where it goes. And the fact that we can all just trust each other to go wherever it needs to go is pretty fascinating to me. And then very specifically with Jenny, you know, it's been a joy to watch you process and grow. And I think one thing that I will encourage and I'll ask the two of you to do is, you know, just to step back and look at how far you've come in this last year as individually. And so for me, watching Jenny process and unfold and take such a deep passion that you have for the work that you do and learn how to harness it. I mean, today's conversation in Clubhouse was about patience, right? The last 2 weeks we've talked about patience And, you know, when you're doing the work that you two are doing, and the causes and the conversations, they're so big and they're so important, and they need to unfold. And I think, Alex, I think you said something about this earlier, right? Like, it's just, you have to allow it to unfold. You have to plant the seeds. You have to trust that, you know, that what you're doing will eventually bear fruit. And it may not be exactly like you think it's going to go, right? It's the right conversation to be having. And you think you maybe see where it's going and be curious and excited about where it might be going that you didn't anticipate. And so that's been really cool. And I learned so much as I watch other people learn and grow. So yeah, thank you. Alex, go ahead.
I mean, you nailed it. At the end of the day, it's like, a life without risk is not a life. You have to be willing to sort of take the leap off that cliff into the water, right? In order to either swim to the shore or maybe not. Maybe someone sees something went wrong. Maybe you need to ask for help. But no matter what, you're going to get to the shore. You have to be able to take those risks in life. You have to risk failing, right? Because if you don't fail, you don't learn anything.
Amen to that.
So what Jenny and I have been doing is just like risking, failing. And like a year and a half in, we're like, we're not failing as much. Now there's actually a potential to fail even less. And then we can create something better in year two. And let's see where that goes. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
but just take the risk, because like, do at the end of the day in your life, want to ask yourself, what if? Or you want to say like, oh, that was a bad decision, you know, but like next time the same opportunity presented itself again, I didn't make the same decision. How did I? And it ended up turning out pretty good.
That's right.
You want to be grateful in life. Like that's the whole point. And like Jenny and I disagree on all sorts of political issues, but that doesn't mean that I don't love her. Doesn't mean I don't care for her. Doesn't mean that, you know, like if she were ever in trouble, I wouldn't help. It's like, you know, if she's in trouble, she busts her leg or her car's on fire or whatever, and she's like, help, help. I'm not going to be like, who did you vote for? What's your skin color? You know, or like, really? Like, so, I don't, like, in terms of keeping my circle, like, tighter, it's like people like that, people who will refuse to help other people based on skin color, gender, what have you, race, it, like, I just, those types of people I don't want in my inner circle. You don't appear to me as one of them. Jenny doesn't. Some of our other guests don't appear to be that way. So I'm happy to include them. But yeah, it's just, man, like I will not include people that judge people on surface levels and never really look in the mirror or dig into their own hearts and realize the devil within. I have long-winded answers to your questions, and I apologize for that.
Oh, good. It tells me a lot about you. I love it. So I'm thinking this is a good time to segue to like the future. Jenny, is it a good time to be thinking about that? Yeah. So I'm going to frame it as I always love being able to think about ourselves based on, think about what you've learned about yourself during this past year and a half. And then, what does that make you excited about, and leveraging what you've already learned? And Alex, you talked a little bit about it, you know, the failing moving forward, but specifically, what have you learned about yourself that makes you excited about the future of your collaboration?
What I've learned about myself. So I'm going to start there. Like Alex sort of hit on it but this is fresh for me as Angie is taking us through this course again. I've had a lot of real insights into myself. And one thing I realized, so you talked about the devil within, Alex, and Angie talked about the sage within. And so the work that Angie has been helping me do is to acknowledge the devil within, because we all have it. It's in the PQ terms, it's our saboteurs, self-sabotage, right? So it's to acknowledge that that's happening, either through, as she was saying, we were talking about patience. I'm frustrated or irritated with somebody, let's say, you know, because I'm impatient and one of your guests. I had to re-listen to it. There was so much depth to that conversation this morning. I re-listened to it, Angie. And one of the guests was talking about like just not looking below the surface again, right? Like what is deeper in that assertion? Is it about yourself? Like, are you expecting something from somebody else that's unrealistic? That's so outside of your control kind of thing is what he was saying. So to me, I think I've realized having that ability to slow down and see the devil within, and then finding that breath to say, I don't know, like as Alex said, we don't know the future. We don't know what this is looking like. This is a leap of faith in terms of we know what we're trying to do. Like if you heard the common threads between us, we both want to just be genuine and authentic and have the right intentions with people and help us come together in conversation, because we both long for community, right? Like we both like, and again, quality community, not like, you know, I'm not saying Alex wants 5 million friends. Like I'm good with my 5 dear friends, right? Like I feel very blessed with my circle, and I'm very proud to say you're in my circle too, Alex. So thank you for this. So to me, it's about just finding a way to help people find their connections, their deep connections in their lives as well, and amplifying those positive things. So I think that's something that I'm really excited about carrying forward now. I feel grounded in, you know, we have this simple way of processing information, which, you know, my sisters would hate me to say that, but I can give my dad credit in something to say like the 6 W's, you know, being rooted in the why, who, where, when, what, how, but making sure that the why is up front, which is what this course essentially taught us last year, to lead with your intention. So people know that we're rooted in that we're out for everybody's best interest in this, right? And I agree with you, Alex. I don't want to be in conversation with people that are not looking out for best interests. You know what I mean? That's the people I want to spend my time with. That's the time I want to give people. You know, we've had tremendous conversations this year. And Angie, I would extend that to your room with genuine people, bringing forward genuine interest ideas, you know? So I'm excited about the taking courses, so that we're not, I feel, in a position where we're writing this thing anymore. I feel like we've got to a place where we have a system of bringing things in, and now we're just benefiting from that system and learning what other people are doing again. So we're not inventing courses next year. We're auditing courses that are existing, and we're getting, you know, permission from these organizations to do this work, right? It's just a conversation around shared learning. So I'm excited for it to be easier, that's the intention. I think it's going to be fun because we're just getting to learn again and potentially teach, because we're one of them is the creative problem solving course that we did last year. So to me, it's building on what we know, it's amplifying other people's work that we support and appreciate, and helping other people get connected to this so that they can find their own peeps to help them move forward in this world together. So I feel like much clearer. I feel like we were painting a picture this year, or another way I'd like to say it is we were building an album song by song. Each of these 6 rounds that we did was a song in this album, if you will. And to me, it's getting to a place now where it's like, okay, we've written an album. We now, you know, if we were people that knew what we were doing, we would now be presenting something. We wouldn't be presenting it, you know, last year. We'd be presenting it now. But we have a product now, and I'm proud of it. I'm really proud of the work we did. And I think that we've built a really great community. I'm thrilled with the people that are working with us in this, and, you know, excited to just be curious next year and not be so, you know, I got to make sure we've got guests, and I've got to make sure we've got this and that. I feel like we've gotten to a place where it's going to give a bit of rhythm to what we're doing and be able to just have fun, which was the goal.
Yeah. I want to second that. You know, there's a few things that kind of come to mind that have inspired me to keep going with this. John F. Kennedy, when he was a senator, came up with published a book called Courage. And Jackie Onassis was a reporter at the time, right? And she came to interview him about the book and about just kind of who he was. And then she asked him, like, what do you think is your greatest character attribute? And she expected him to say courage. She already had her like pre-written kind of answers so that she could write her article. And he said curiosity. And all of her answers went right out the window right away. And she was like, what do you mean by that? Right? And he said, I'm always curious enough to put myself in the other person's shoes because that's going to help me to understand their perception of who I am. I was like, ooh. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're going to keep going.
So, Alex, I'd love for you to build a little more on what, you know, what you learned about yourself this past year specifically, and then how that will build into the future.
I learned I'm a lot more capable of adaptation than I had previously thought. I learned that I was able to navigate information, do polylateral research to find different viewpoints, access different viewpoints, identify with them. I learned to expand creativity and curiosity, and that just continues to grow. I learned how to be exhausted and know when to take time off. There's a lot of things that I learned, but you know, like one thing that I probably the most important thing to summarize that I have learned is that I am going to continue to learn. And that is what life is.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you stop, if you hit pause, if you close that umbrella, the raindrops just come down and eventually you get soaked. So you got to keep the umbrella open, right? So you can absorb the drops, but you can allow them to flow around and then you can actually make sense of why they're moving in the directions that they're moving, if that makes any sense, as an allegory. So what I think actually the past year and a half has led me to conclude is that I'm capable of a lot more than I thought I was. And that's inspiring. So I'll just keep going.
Awesome.
Why don't we do some takeaways? Is that okay? The one thing Alex said that I want to get back to is this idea that challenges is a big part of, I think, what keeps him and I working together. I took that course. I know I've referred to it many times with both, well, at least you, Angie, the science of well-being. It was offered out of Yale University. And one of the lessons in it is that people feel most satisfied or joyful in their lives when they are challenged within their capabilities. And it's that perfect balance of within your capabilities, right? And I think that's the thing that Alex has, he's definitely been challenged potentially outside of his capabilities, but it's been enough curiosity that he's been willing to overcome those small leaps of faith in himself. And so I would say, you've absolutely demonstrated that. And I think that's a big part of what drives me too, is I understand that now, learning that in that course, that challenging myself is the most satisfying way of living my life. And to your point about, I don't want to have any regrets. I don't know if you said it in those words, but I want to feel that I have tried to bring people together in ways that serve all of us. And so that I feel good when I go to sleep at night. I can go to sleep and know I tried my best for not only my family, but for Alex's and for you. And that's the great thing about knowing this. Once you know that, you don't need to worry about, you know, if this is good for my son, then somebody's going to lose. No, when you think in this way that serves others, it's quite gratifying, as Alex was, I think, saying. It's very satisfying work to do, but it's hard work to do. It's something that's long-term, like he described. It's something that we don't necessarily get to enjoy. My friend Elise says it's type two fun. You know, like we're not having type one fun. Type one fun is just, you know, smoking a joint and having some giggles. This is type two fun. Yeah. I'm not that I'm opposed to that, but the point is, yeah, like we've been having type two fun. And I think type two fun translates into type three fun and type four fun and type, you know, on and on and on. And I think that's the benefit of the work we've now done. And I'm hopeful that we're in a place now where we can just enjoy the benefits of what we've worked towards and get into a bit of a rhythm and have some fun. So that's where my head's at. And Angie, that same goes with you. You know, I'm hoping that this year is designed that I have more free time and I'm happy to do other fun things with you. You know, there's lots of ways, lots of areas you're working that I'm not. And so, you know, if there's other ways for even Alex and I to support you in your work, let's look at that being more that, if anything, if we can get more cohesive between our groups and others next year is what I would love to start seeing. So however we can amplify the work you're doing, please know that we're here in that regard for you. So that's enough for me. Who wants to go next?
I think what I want to learn from you next year is how to acquire more skills as a sounding board so that I can learn more from other people and just almost just leave the stage and just allow them to teach me about all the things that they've been passionate about learning in their lives and just be a facilitator and a translator going forward. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about sharing information via experts in all these different fields and just allowing that open education to be available. But then also simultaneously promoting the experts that we're interviewing. If you want to learn more about what Angie's doing, if you want to learn more about what Brad's doing, if you want to follow this link, there's courses available. So it's more of, I just want to learn from people like you and then promote you. And then if that helps, that's great. And that's my goal for 2025. And I think there's a market for that. I think there's a demand for that. I don't necessarily say that I know exactly how to bring all that to fruition, but I am stubborn and I do have an eidetic memory. So I learn very quickly. And I think there is a possibility for something like that to be created. Well, we can all support each other and we can all educate each other in different fields and kind of spread the opportunity for other people to learn that they're capable of educating themselves at the same time. And I think there's also money that can be made from that, you know, because if it's free, it's worth as much as it costs. There needs to be a value to the education and everybody who's involved in that needs to benefit. So my plan next year is to kind of like rack my brain on how to figure out how to make that happen so that everybody feels like they get their fair share and then they get their own profits from what they're willing and able to teach to others. That's the way that I am kind of mapping it out, but it's still going to take me a few weeks to make sure that there's a good elevator pitch. But everything that I've learned so far in the past year and a half has been absolutely incredible. I never thought myself capable. And if it weren't for Genity actually presenting the opportunity or bringing Andy on board or for the opportunity to interview 34 people so far, still two more to go, you know, within 52 weeks, like I don't know where I would be. I could never have predicted this. So like, how can I be ungrateful when really all that's actually been presented to me through meeting Jenny and trying to work on this pursuit for the past year and a half has been nothing but opportunity and education, right? How can I have a bad attitude? Can't, sorry, grateful, Merry Christmas, you know? Shit, man. Like, look around, look in the mirror, look at your life, and it's just like, holy moly, if you were to write a gratitude list for everything you have in your life, it would be longer than a roll of toilet paper.
I love that.
And the rest is a bunch of shit.
Yeah, there's the quote. That's what we needed. Thanks, you too. I thank you for sharing your journey with me. I think I'm always struck by, you know, I think when it becomes most powerful, and Jenny, you and I have talked a little bit about this, is that, you know, you have to do the inner work. And you started off with that, you know, the devil within, the saboteurs, whatever it is, it's the most effective that we can be in changing others is by doing the inner work, right? Doing the inner work, really understanding where we are. And then that ripples out, right? It becomes less about trying to force. And you said easy, Jenny, and that's ease and flow is very much a sage principle that, you know, and that starts from within. If I have that ease within myself and I have that sense of who I am and why I'm here, then it just becomes an easier path. And then you can be more intentional around where you're headed because you're grounded in yourself. So I think I'm hearing, if I think about the early conversation that I had with the two of you, I think we did it on Clubhouse the first time, right? You know, it was different. I sense a different energy from the two of you together, right? You're more aligned. The energetics between the two of you have definitely are much more aligned in terms of how you interact. So, you know, the future is bright. I love it. So thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this has been a great hour with you, Angie. Thank you very much for, you know, getting home safely and having this conversation with us today. Looking forward to what 2025 brings for all of us. And for anybody listening, next week is our end of the year season finale, if you will, conversation. Angie, you're welcome to join us again. The goal is to share a song that inspires us. Just a light conversation to end the year to thank the people that have participated in this. Might try and send it out to some other friends this week of the show. So thank you, Angie. Thanks, Alex. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you, Angie. One more question before we go.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to go Columbo on this one. Just one more thing. One more question. So the way of the sage that you speak of, is that based in Taoism? Because I only know the way of the sage based on Taoism.
Yeah, good question. I think Shirzad has never really fully said where, I mean, it comes from a lot of the different science-based psychology, performance science, etc. I do think there's definitely a lot of the different faith-based, like Buddhism comes in a lot, I think, but I can't say yes or no for sure. Yeah, but I would not be surprised.
Yeah, the Tao Te Ching, like when I received the Tao, was kind of was the way of the sage.
So right.
I was just wondering how you were referring to the sage, because it has multiple definitions.
It's funny that it hasn't come up before. This is a great question.
I know. It is true. And I know it's the, you know, like, who were you when you were born is a Buddha thing, a Buddhism thing. Right. And I think that's very sage, right? Being able to tap back into who we were before all the, you know, the devil took over, or the plaster came on over top of the beautiful golden statue. So, right. Yeah, good question. Yeah. I don't have a specific answer for you for that.
So just to give you a lead on that, if you want to dive on it.
Yeah.
In Taoism, the way of the sage is to lead by planting seeds in order for others to think that they discovered it for themselves.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fitting.
Right. That sounds about right.
That's awesome. What a great way to end it. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Angie.
All right.
Have a great night. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
You.